Startled me.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay, hello. Oh, shit. Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey A. Lexa.
I'm your boyfriend who lives under quarantine, Blake Hunsley.
And I'm your tepid front piece, Brent.
Stay away. Stay
tepid away. Tepid front piece sounds like a symptom. That's I don't want a tepid.
It's not
front
contagious.
Piece.
Don't worry.
I don't know. It's catching.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. This is a spoiler-free podcast for any episodes after the episode we are talking about. So, despite having seen an episode ahead of this one, we won't be jumping forward on the timeline and ruining the fun.
We will do today, our level best.
Yeah, we will do our damn best. We usually fail. Today we are talking about Broken Places.
We just finished watching the latest episode now, so it's all a jumble in my head. But correct me if I'm wrong. We started at... I can do this. Did we start with Eleanor getting... Space Legolas getting rescued by... 7 of 9, is that what happened?
We did not, but that is an important part of it.
I was sure we started there. What actually starts the episode then?
A flashback to the most boring character in the entire show.
Oh, that bitch, right. Yeah.
So we join Nerissa as she
undertakes... Who I'm no longer mad at for reasons which will become apparent very shortly in this podcast.
Ooh. Oh, yes. Very interesting. Very interesting. We joined Nerissa for the admonition 14 years ago or 16 years ago, something like that, a couple of years before the attack on Mars. And we actually get to see the admonition, and it's every Jerry Bruckheimer movie slammed together. Explosions and shit exploding and explosions exploding into bigger explosions.
I found a piece of reused footage in the next episode. Please make sure I yell about it. I'm very excited.
Oh, yes.
I think I know exactly what piece you're,
yes,
you're
okay.
talking about.
But we're not going to give
I'm
it away, even
dying
though it's so
to hear about it. Oh.
No jokes about dying. Nope, not even sarcastically.
No.
Hey, everything's fine.
However, the admonition drives 11 out of 12 people to commit suicide or go crazy. And Nerissa's left.
11, wasn't it? Of all remaining.
No, I think there's like a few crawling around on the ground going.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming there's a bunch of crazies going around there every time they bring them into the circle.
Oh, there's like nomads in the desert wandering nearby.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, was this your fifth time? Oh, yeah, no.
I can't believe I forgot that was the intro. There was some pretty seriously graphic self-head smashing open with rocks.
Yeah, no,
like, they got pretty creative with their suicide techniques there.
Mm-hmm.
However, she survives and is determined to fuck them androids up.
Yeah, she looks, like, moderately upset at the end of the admonition where everyone else has gone, like... completely fuckwad insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you get the feeling that that's probably a good sign that she was kind of broken to begin with.
Either that or she's on like copious amounts of like Romulan Xanax.
Romulan cocaine?
The best.
But it's illegal in the Federation.
I call it Berta. Hey.
Hey. I was thinking about that Romulan ale thing earlier. Because I've been doing a rewatch of all the movies, and for Patreon specials, we should do that. We should sit down and broadcast, like, record watching all of the movies.
I'm so into that.
Yes. Yeah. I will Mystery Science Theater 3000 the hell out of it.
Do you remember the Trek Miss Day movie marathon?
Yes.
It's the Trek Miss Day movie marathon. Yes, I worked in a hotel once, and there was nobody actually staying in it, so I got paid to sit and watch the entire Trek Miss Day movie marathon with my best friend. It was not a bad day.
Not bad. Back when that day actually meant you're just going to watch a bunch of Kirk and Co.
Pretty much. Yeah.
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 Boo. Boo. Anyway, but like there's a bunch of references throughout to you know how horrible Romulan ale is and how illegal it is. But in Nemesis, a Romulan captain is just like, yes, we'll have to share a cup of Romulan ale. And it's just like, one, you can probably call it ale. You're Romulan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And two, okay, so if it's just
we'll have to share
ale,
a human beer.
Yeah, or human beer.
One human beer, please.
Well, no, hold on, though. Maybe it's like when we talk to Americans and we're like, we should get together and have a Canadian beer. We would never say it, but like, would you want to get together and have an American beer?
No.
No.
That's a good
Romulans
that's a good
don't
point.
Want our piss-ass brown, weak-ass beer. They
to,
want,
to which?
They want their insane meth blue, Albuquerque's original, 4,000% presumably. Sanctioned because
you.
It's a cold war, not because it's actually
my
bad.
My blood's
for you,
green and my drink's a blue.
But yeah, like, so I immediately pictured, like, okay, who drinks ale? Well, like, old guys in pubs drink ale. So there's like.
I'm feeling
some
very
old...
attacked, Mickey.
Oh. So there's this old Romulan sitting in a bar, like, pounding back their 1,000,000th glass of ale and laughing at every pissant, like, Klingon who gets a hangover within half an hour. Because
oh,
you
perfect.
Remember, Worf got a hangover at the reception.
Right.
From Romulan ale?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the hangover as you're drinking it.
But here's the thing about Worf being our example
He's
here.
A bitch.
Worf's a fucking pussy when it comes to drinking. Bitch drinks prune juice.
Yeah, I love my prune juice.
Prune juice.
Prune juice. Extra prune.
Now, the same thing, however, happens to Chekhov, who legendarily chugs vodka.
Fair point. Fair point. Maybe his liver's just so damaged from all the vodka, he just can't do it. He's probably drinking, like, Synthahol vodka, too. He's like, I can drink Synthahol till the cows come home and I'm fine. It's like, yeah, that's the point of Synthahol, bud. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes down smooth because it's water.
Yeah, give him a cup of St. Petersburg's original and he's on the floor.
Speaking of on the floor and drunk, it's Rios's time to have a mental breakdown.
Oh, that's right. Oh, but how am I not more excited about this already? We got all of the holograms in a room.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
That was so
good. I loved it.
That actor is wonderful.
He does
oh my
Scottish
God, he's,
accent
he's a...
very well.
Oh, yes. Persnickety Patty over here was
like, I
was
listening
satisfied.
To it, and I was like, you're from about four different communities, but they're all close to one another. Like...
you... Oh, my God.
That's not bad.
No,
that's
like
not
it's,
bad.
It's like four different communities.
If you were trying to pull off a Canadian accent and you sounded like you were part, like, North Sydney, part Spring Hill, part Dartmouth, and part, like, North Vancouver, everyone would call you the fuck out on it. But if you had, like... an Anakinish thrown in there instead. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what's going to really differentiate it.
Yeah, yeah.
You chose three places that are 50 kilometers away from each other.
Yes.
Vancouver, and then another
that's
person, a
problem.
Place
that's
50
that's
kilometers away.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is if you tried to do like a broad Canadian accent, and it sounded like it was from four different places. Like
okay,
Rios's,
I see.
But one of them was from fucking BC, then everyone would think you're a moron.
Well, quite frankly, I can't. Aside from Seth Rogen and Ryan Reynolds, I can't think of what that would sound like.
I have no idea. I you know, we could do a whole episode on everyone's inability to describe what a Canadian accent is, or like even figure out our regional ones. No, we could do a whole series on that. I don't want to, but we could.
Where am I? Where, right. Rios is drunk and he's locked himself in his cabin and
wait
he is upset.
No.
Wait a minute.
No.
Madness.
Madness. Is this timeline off? This timeline seems off.
This timeline seems off?
Is that what happens next in the episode?
Yeah, because...
did we not skip over it?
Well, no, he met Soji... and because he met Soji at the end of the last episode, he has a panic attack this time.
Right.
But instead of like just having an open panic attack, he runs off and hides in his room and gets drunk.
I swear I have seen the episode.
Yeah. Really it was, stuck it's just with a while me a ago. Lot. I mean, no, not at all. And we find out his backstory, which is a little too conveniently connected to the actual plot.
Very much so, but, you know, yeah. tis Star Trek, so.
I guess we had to. So it turns out while he was serving with Captain Vandermeer, his hero icon, I guess, senpai, they came across what turned out to be two androids,
mm-hmm.
And one of them looked just like Soji.
Mm-hmm.
And when Vandermeer reported it to Starfleet, more like a Commandeer O, mm-hmm. replied, "Gat them."
Mm-hmm.
And so Vandermeer did. And then Rios scolded him so hard that Vandermeer committed suicide on the spot.
I actually loved that touch, because, like, I know there's been a lot of talk about how this series is so dark in comparison to regular Star Trek, but, like, oh, bitch, you want it dark? Fine. I criticized someone so much he shot himself in the head while talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... Wow.
Yep, I'm here for
wow.
it.
Wow. To which a completely distraught Rios, probably still with brains on his face, kicked the bodies of the androids out into space and made it look like Vandermeer just committed suicide for funsies and then went back to spaceport.
That's pretty brutal.
That's a hell of a backstory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you're right. Rather convenient.
A little convenient that it happened to be him, and yeah. they happened to find him. Like,
well, I mean, it kind of had to be. Like, what else is it going to be? Like, oh, I heard this story from my pal in the academy that this happened to. Like, no.
What again? Yeah,
no, it's not the sloppiest writing Star Trek's ever given us, but, like, you're right. It's probably, like, one of the first real valid writing critiques we've given on this show of the season so far.
I mean, it's no Tuvix.
I love Tuvix so much.
Ugh.
Taking that's two annoying characters away and replacing them with one slightly less annoying character, that's a win. And then you fucked it up. Janeway, you became a murderer and you inflicted Neelix and Tuvok on us again.
In some alternate universe, Kes with long hair and Tuvix are like living on a planet.
We don't talk about Kes anymore. Talking about Kes makes me sadder than talking about Ichab because it's all real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't help Picard come back, I can see.
Yeah, no, she will not be appearing in Picard.
No.
Wasn't she
one of the XBs in the background?
What's that? She, honest to God, looks so much worse than any of them.
She's had a rough time.
Yeah.
Girardi wakes up and confesses that she murdered Maddox and agrees to go to jail. That's kind of all that happened in that scene.
I was really happy to see her remorse. Like, you could see how fucked up she was in from seeing all of that.
Yeah, and she's been a really good actress for being, like, for performing kind of broken.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that since she's half Romulan, half Vulcan, she is probably aggressive in her mind melds, where she's just like...
Ooh, yeah.
She's probably just like, oh, no, you're going to do exactly what I want you to do. This is how, this is why, boom.
Yeah, mind melds seem to be typically a little, like, it's one thing for a mind melder to infiltrate you. Apparently that happens all the time. But to kind of enforce on you that what they see, it seems to be that one step way too far.
Well, it was also an incredibly, like, think about what seeing that admonition did to the Romulans, like, originally. Like, even if it's normally a nice, gentle thing for Vulcans to share their experiences with you, that one probably is going to bruise a bit. So,
well, and also Girardi being a, like,
oh, doctor... Girardi's a poor little fragile human too.
No, but she's a doctor of, like, Data's. She's a Data doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's the worst for her because it's them.
Oh, so it's also, like, personally traumatizing because it's her dreams and all turning to ash in her mouth. Yeah, I can see that being troublesome.
You gotta wonder about a special club that approaches you and says, okay, 1 in 12, or you have a 1 in 12 chance of getting in. You might bash your head in with a rock.
Mm-hmm.
You want to
You might just
you
go
join?
Insane. And if you don't, you'll be so horrified. Yeah, I don't really get what the appeal is there.
It's probably just tradition, and it's such a secret, hidden culture that, like...
Yeah, they're like, ooh, there's an ultimate secret? Fun! Oh my god, Romulans are Scientologists.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And we just got, like, double the listeners for this episode. Yay! He said the magic
Huzzah!
Word.
Said the magic word, and suddenly you're sued. speaking of grand conspiracies across space and time, Raffi turns out she was right. Fire can melt deutonium beams, and Romulans did Mars.
If we don't get a scene where her son apologizes while looking like a completely ashamed fuckwit, I'm going to be real disappointed.
With a Romulan granddaughter or son?
Romulan or Vulcan? We had this debate, didn't we?
I thought she was Romulan.
I would say Romulan.
Romulan would make more sense for the neighborhood. I don't know why you'd have a Vulcan hanging out on that planet in the neutral zone.
And it'd kind of be weird if, like, they had that whole moment of tension. And maybe, like, you know, like, later on, she's like, well, I guess you had to shack up with that goddamn Romulan. And her son could be like, Mom, you're racist. She's Vulcan.
Yeah.
That'd be, well, I mean, even just to be like, why'd you shack up with that goddamn Romulan is pretty fucking racist.
Yeah, but she's, like, quite frankly, if you're that deep into grand conspiracies about wars between species and shit,
mm-hmm.
and you're trailing... you're facing an actual fleet of those people that you think committed that conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
you're probably going to have a few prejudices about
maybe
them.
This is like why a certain generation wouldn't accept their sons coming back with Japanese girlfriends after a few years. It's the exact same
Oh, nightmare. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there was a deeper thing there. Like, maybe it needed one more, scene to put through, but maybe the reason he left is because she is incessantly anti-Romulan.
That would be really funny if, like, you know, he comes back and he's, like, you know, contrite and apologetic, but still not, like, super feeling bad about it, and she's like, this is rather perfunctory, and he's like, well, really, it was about all your, like, insane anti-Romulan vitriol around the dinner table all the time.
Well, Riker is obviously not for Romulans. He had some shady comments. Like, he was saying,
yeah.
So you want to be ass deep in Romulans for the rest of your life?
No, that's just Riker just, like, kind of hinting at his fetish.
Also, I think I have a small prediction.
Yeah,
I think the fleet that's sitting at whatever starbase has Riker.
12? I forgot all about the fleet coming to Starbase 12.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
They're still a long ways away, and we can't talk about how they might get there yet.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
they
was said that Riker he didn't retire.
That's right, they did throw that out there.
Like,
there
was a specific line where
he was, like...
in
the active reserves or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would
they
throw that out unless we're going to see Riker in uniform?
Exactly.
I think you're right. We will see him return. I suspect we'll see some minor cameos.
he just got a, like, a...
Be so good.
No, he's got, like, a horse mount in the middle. That's the captain's chair. Just let me...
Oh, my
God,
that's the best thing.
Oh, you just reminded me of something delightful. Do you remember the Space Quest games at all?
Yes.
No.
There's a captain on one of the later ones who's a lion, and, like, his alien race is, like, you know, like, sentient, like, upright standy lions. And
yes.
His captain's chair is a big, like, clawing pad kind of thing.
Oh,
it's perfect.
Cool.
Yes. I would love to see, like, some kind of animalian kind of alien captain in the Federation that has, yes, like an equine captain that has a saddle for a captain's chair. That'd be amazing.
Oh, no. The way I'm picturing the whole saddle thing is it's like one of those bucking bronco rides at a bar. And so whenever the ship gets thrown and all of the other officers get tossed,
they're all like, oh,
he's just riding, and you're just like, woo! Yeah!
And fire at us again!
Yeehaw!
Oh, this is great. We need this.
It becomes mandatory from then on.
The one with the horse captain needs to be the USS Secretariat.
Yep.
Good joke.
Or the USS Derby.
No. Kentucky Derby is canceled.
Canceled. Everything is canceled.
Here's a silver lining. Everything that's being canceled entertainment-wise has nothing to do with sexual harassment right now.
No, it's absolutely true.
Hooray!
And now if only they can get rid of the Olympics and end that roving death camp.
You watch, the Olympics are going to get canceled because of, like, massive, rampant sexual harassment now.
Just how much sexual harassment? It was an event?
The amount of times I've heard this called an event this week, oh my god. We need to yell about this during the break, and we need to record it during the break for the people who very generously contribute on Patreon, because I am very mad at a lot of people and upset at a lot of things, and there will be some off-topic screaming in the break. But right now, it's about Star Trek, goddammit, so let's focus
Star
up.
Star Trek.
Picard. Mr. Picard.
So, Narek finds their trail again for plot convenience reasons. I really feel like he's been tacked on for the last couple of episodes. He did his duty, and now it's like, we should have just killed him.
Yeah, you know they're going to use him eventually, but it does feel like, okay, and keep stringing him along here, too, because we need him in a little bit.
Yeah. Just, okay, fine, whatever.
There's a bit of that going around.
Also, some of the best things that I've ever seen is Seven of Nine getting some fucking cool tech going on in the Queen Chamber.
Yes. So that finally takes us to Seven of Nine at the actual end of the episode, because they like forgot that they had Seven of Nine and Elnor and the cube, and we're like, oh right, shit.
Okay.
Seven saves Elnor and starts a fight with Nerissa. Seven logs on as administrator to the cube, and Nerissa opens the pod bay doors.
Hell.
Yeah,
you can't not.
I mean, come on. That moment definitely was just kind of like, okay, so could a Borg drone survive in space? Do you have just a bunch of like essentially immobile drones just going like?
The Borg drone could survive in space for, I would imagine, like a limited amount of time for sure.
Yeah. So couldn't they just like start chaining together or something and like you know, like that plastic monkey game,
like a mechanized grotesque hands across America.
Yeah. And they all just like slowly tendril up and then come back into the ship.
Gross. Yes, this could work.
It could.
I really like the potential of like exploring the weirder aspects of the Borg.
There should really be an entirely separate show that's just a what if Star Trek. That's just like, what if this random thing? How would that function?
Well, if we are to believe, there is a collective on that ship that Seven is running.
Briefly. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We will get that to that. Although, I really like the idea of the What If show, because I want to see a version where they go back to that classic episode where the guys have, like, white on one side and black on the other.
Oh,
and they
man.
Hate each other because they have the opposite.
Oh, man.
And I want to flip it and then redo the entire episode perfectly the same, but they have different sides.
You want to redo an episode of Star Trek and that's the one you pick and that's what you choose to do. You're a monster. I'm glad we're socially isolated from each other.
The pedantic paradigm.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. That's a whole other episode we need to have happen here too.
Chaotic evil.
We may have to start our own What If Star Trek podcast, actually. This is
that could be really cool.
There's a lot of things happening in my head right now. Yeah.
Wherever we record, we come up with too much stuff, and like as much as the cigarette Bechtel of cigarettes is a good idea, so much of it is like it's like, no, seriously, we should do a What If Star Trek where we just go, hey, what if this?
I think we're gonna have to, because you're right, like we just keep we keep throwing out hilarious what ifs during those segments and never following up on them. It might be worth actually taking the time.
We just need a name for it, god damn it. We'll figure that out. Anyway, so yeah, Seven logs on and becomes Borg Queen Small Batch. Mm-hmm. Artisanal Borg Queen.
Yes.
It's her second collective.
It's true.
Because she did that little triad.
Yeah. And it's on like an heirloom cube and everything. Oh my god.
She's like the new Queen Victoria. I'm so steampunk.
What does that mean?
She's steampunk. She just like logged herself.
Borg, Queen Victoria wasn't steampunk.
That's great.
They're like, ooh, you're a Delta girl.
That's great. All of your knowledge of Queen Victoria comes from Doctor Who, which sometimes colors your commentary.
Yeah, that's
accurate.
That's fine.
She's a Borg Victoria in that she's under 5 foot nothing and hasn't had sex in the last 50 years.
Oh my god, if Seven of Nine was like incredibly short and incredibly rotund, that would be but of course, because it was never about sexualizing her on her original appearance in Voyager, she would still need those incredibly high heels and that super tight bodysuit, the cat suit.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but while being shaped like a radish.
Like a radish.
But shaped like a radish. Instead of those weird fake rib extensions they have on her suit, it'd just be like enhanced rolls.
No, like a very clear whalebone corset underneath that skin tight.
We went super cheap. We got this from William Shatner. He swears by it.
We just cut it in half.
However, that's how the episode ends. Nerissa outthinks a bored queen, and it's a small collective, and vents them out into space.
So
that's not how the episode ends, is it?
That's it.
So here's my question, though.
Wait a minute.
Just let us continue.
Was there more?
No, because I'm sure there was more in this episode.
What was there?
Didn't Seven win the day in this episode? Didn't she actually settle that at the end? We didn't have to wait until
No, because one. Nerissa just, like, leaves.
What? No! Madness.
Yeah. No, nothing happens in this episode.
Oh, you're right. Nerissa does just leave. Yeah, I'm not over her then. No, wait a minute. I thought Nerissa... No, Nerissa fucking dies, man.
No.
Yes, no. Remember she got swarmed by Borg.
That's what I was going to bring up, that it did not look like Nerissa died.
No, she got swarmed by XBs. She totally...
Let me finish.
Wasn't that the next episode, though?
No.
No, there was a bright light of her underneath all the Borg piling on top. I think she was teleported out.
Yeah, I agree. She teleported out, and then she contacted the fleet. Because the fleet arrives after.
Okay.
And there's a shot of a Romulan ship flying away from the cube after the flash under the XBs.
See, I hate this character so much, I had convinced myself that she had been killed, and I was happy about that.
No, that would have been good.
That's too easy.
Well, thanks for ruining my week, Mickey, because everything else has been hunky-dory in the world except for this.
Oh, clearly. This is the biggest problem you've ever faced.
This is the biggest problem I have. That character that I hate on Picard is still alive.
It's a good thing she's pretty or she'd be completely forgettable.
Some would say, oh, no.
Uh-oh. That's horrible.
That is really bad.
But it brings us to our ending segment, which I always forget the name of.
Oh!
What is it again?
It's always my job to remember this. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. It'll come to me.
Butter. Gabby. I got a subject. It's delicious.
Oh my god, Madonna.
Oh, she's good, but she's no Cher.
She's no Cher. No. Oh my god, Cher.
You're one name.
Yeah, one name.
Yeah, just you one got, name.
That's all
How
you need.
How is this not helping me focus and think of the name of this?
I don't know.
Sheila.
What
Sheila.
What is it?
Myrtle.
We do this show. This is our show. How do we not know this?
Make It So is the
make
name.
It so,
I just want to see if you actually knew.
God damn it. Nope, not a clue.
Fun time. So, what's your Make It So? We're right. getting close to the end.
My Make It So is I really want to see Riker come back into the fold and do some more, like, saving the day. Because I feel like he left Starfleet in a really shit poor way. Like, with his kid and everything. Like, that was a really... That's a shit way to leave. That's it.
That's a shit way to leave. Shit way to go, Riker's career.
Riker gave Starfleet, you know, the Irish goodbye, and that's just not satisfying.
Yeah.
Just snuck out there. Mine is one that I'm not going to yell about until the next episode, but I might make it so. There's a lovely ensemble cast at this point. I'm quite taken with all of them. I love the chemistry of how they work together. Could we motherfucking get all of them to have a little adventure together on screen? Like, actually all of them?
That'd be cool.
Like, I hate when you give me a great ensemble cast and then insist on keeping them split into at least two groups.
Yeah.
It bugs me. And then you take forever for the payoff of actually reuniting them, and it's never good enough. Actually give them some occasional scenes together and let them have some fun. Basically, right. I'm happy. I'm very happy Seven of Nine is back. I'm very excited about this. I really liked everything in this episode. Her as the Borg Queen was amazing. That was very satisfying. I was quite pleased.
They wrote Jeri Ryan an amazing character to play.
They did, but it's starting to all feel to me like it's spin-off setup. Because it's just... When she's there now, it's her and Elnor on screen. And I'm like, okay, but where's everyone else? Like, can you guys just hang out and have some fun together fighting baddies? No. What?
That's next episode.
I didn't touch on that yet. That was this whole episode. Don't you dare. I always spoil the next episode. And this time
I know, I'm trying to get you
face.
To not spoil the next episode.
Doctor, I wasn't going to.
As for me, my Make It So is, yeah, I want to see more Seven and Elnor and that cube. I really like the idea of the XBs. Going back to that episode where Lore creates his own little mini collective, I've always really liked the idea of, like, what would happen when you break off little bits of the Borg.
Ooh, like that Voyager episode that's actually an amazing episode.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Weird because it's a Chakotay-centric episode, but even he's pretty fun. Like, yeah, that
yeah,
little mini collective one,
people.
The little peaceful, forced upon you, which is weird, but still peaceful collective.
Yeah, like there's potential there.
Well, it was done. It was the forced collective for in Seven's case, I think, is a little bit.
Yeah, it's
more
true.
Protective.
The Borg don't really understand consent.
No, they're just like, oh, hey, do you want to be saved?
The Borg needed better junior high education and health class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They needed a coach.
They needed PDR, personal development and relationships.
They need to self-isolate. That entire cube is an infectious high.
Well, who isn't?
Resistance is futile.
Ooh. Thank you so much for listening to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I can say words well. If you enjoyed it, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please ding the thing for more updates.
You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/mygenderiscinema. See? I wasn't even reading it.
He reads
it
like
a
pro.
I know it now. I don't know any of the other names of these segments or half the time the name of this podcast, but I know that.
I call that progress. Don't forget to visit Here We Go Productions on Patreon, where you will find this and other podcasts and videos, plus much, much more. And please show your support by pledging as little as $1 a month so we can keep bringing these shows to you.
Who?
Until next time, to absent friends...
Hell!
What?
This has been WTS apparently, but that's okay.
When?